well, if all my sin is paid for and there's nothing that could ever separate me from God, but I'll still sin here because I have a sinful nature, why wouldn't I just take my life and be with the Lord? And I wouldn't even have the opportunity to sin. I wouldn't have the chance to mess it up. And my mentor, he really chewed on that because, first of all, good question. But you never want to encourage somebody to take their life. But then you see how bad sin is. And he said, what? You know, he started to think right there on the spot. And he asked God for wisdom. And he came. This answer came to him. He said, there must be something of great significance to serve the Lord in this life. That's really good. Hello and welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we are answering yet another listener-submitted email. If you have a question, make sure you email it to us. The email address is questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Today we are answering Francisco's question, and he wrote, "Hello, Pastor Jesse. It is verses like this one that make me doubt sometimes if salvation can be lost. I know that there are a lot of clear verses that indicate that it cannot. However, verses like this ring in my head when I try to think about the security of my salvation. Could you please give me a brief explanation? What does it mean to draw back unto perdition? Verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 10 says this, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Hebrews 10, 38 through 39. I'm going to read you my response. I wrote back to him within a day of his email because I believe, as the Lord was properly timing, I was right in this passage for something completely different, but I had my mind refreshed on a good biblical response. Before I read my response here, it's very, very important to understand context. The book of Hebrews is one of those books that has been cherry-picked to death to make the worst salads ever as far as doctrinal things go. I can't tell you how many times someone will take this disgusting contraption of biblical theology, that's what they think it is, and it'll be wrapped in things like Hebrews 2, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, and it just goes on and on and on. And they forget the context of what is being said in those chapters. Hebrews is a very big boy book. It's not something that if I led somebody to Christ, let's say, let's rewind when I was a youth director. And I have a kid come to Ranch, that's the name of our youth group, and he trusts Christ as his Savior. I am not going to say, now you go in there with your fork and knife, buddy, and you cut up Hebrews, and that'll be real good for you. Because there's things that the audience of Hebrews understood that my new little baby brother in Christ doesn't know. I'm going to give him John. I'm going to give him, to some degree, some of the epistles like Galatians, Ephesians, things that are kind of milky for him so he can grow. And I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to make sure if he has questions, buddy, I'm ready to answer. And then as we grow, then we get into Hebrews. But I'm going to make sure he understands the context of Hebrews. But, you know, that big ball and nasty Bible doctrine that I was just describing to you, Hebrews 10, 38, and 39 is right in the center, right by Hebrews 10, 26. Don't you know there remaineth no more sacrifice for habitual sin? To which I always honestly ask that person, is there any sin that you do that is not habitual? I mean, we all make a choice to sin. But verses like this are good ones. So we're going to have the response up here on the screen, and you can follow along. Don't forget to like, comment, and share this video. It helps get us out to more people, and there may be people in your life who can be encouraged by it. If you haven't already, hit the red subscribe button and the little notification bell and set it to all, so that every time that we post or go live, you get an update. If you have a Bible question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Let's get back to today's video. So I said, hey, Francisco, great question. Hebrews 10, 38 through 39 is the last verse in a very important passage about persevering in the faith. When it says perdition, it is referring to the physical destruction that can come upon the believer who walks away from the truth, mainly the sufficiency of Jesus Christ as their sin bearer. The audience in Hebrews were tempted to revert back to the Jewish customs of sacrifices, and that was an offense to God. Essentially, they were saying that the blood of animals was better than the blood of Jesus. This behavior would bring shame to the gospel message and undermine the importance of salvation through Jesus Christ alone, apart from any animal sacrifices. God would discipline his children who walked away, and that discipline may involve physical death. And I'm going to stop from my response here and speak to you off the cuff. In 1 John chapter 5, there is a sin unto death. And so many people try to find out if it's a particular sin. If it's like, is it the sin of buying a lottery ticket? Is it the sin of murder? Is it the sin of rape? And so they think, well, if I don't do that big boy sin, then I'll be good. And I believe the teaching in 1 John chapter 5 is there is an amount of sin unto death. There is a time where you run out of leash. You run out of opportunities to correct your behavior. And God says, I'm taking you home, which is the ultimate form of deliverance for that sinning believer. Because now that sin which separates them from God, which has been paid for by Jesus Christ, it can no longer plague them here. Now, they miss out on rewards, and they will know that at the judgment seat of Christ because they were unprofitable. And I think they miss out on how they're going to rule and reign with Christ in the millennium. But it's important to recognize it's not just the sin. It's how much sin are you going to continue to live in spite of God's correction. When I said here that God would discipline his children who walked away and that discipline may involve physical death, the Hebrews were Jews who left the sacrifices, and they said, you know what? Jesus is our Messiah. We believe on him. You read Hebrews 1. You read Hebrews 2. The warnings really start coming into Hebrews 2 because it says, how are we going to neglect so great a salvation? Salvation from what? Your soul is saved. Your Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus, and his blood has saved you, and his death has brought you from death unto life. And you've put your trust in him. Why are you going to neglect that? And then it goes thing after thing after thing. And one of the big ones here, starting in chapter 6 of Hebrews into chapter 10 and, well, modified in chapter 11, is you're going to go back to the sacrifices. Those things could never take away sin. Otherwise, the high priest would have had to give sacrifices just one time if it was able to take away sin. And if a believer who knows better yet chooses to go back to that religious system, that works-based system, if he chooses to do that, God will discipline him. Oh, yeah, and it'll be hard discipline. And it's important to recognize, I'll get back to my email here, or to my response, when it says the saving of the soul, it refers to the preservation of the faithful believer until he receives his full reward. You can understand this as saving of life. See, we have a great opportunity here. This is not a part of my response, but it's off the cuff to you now. We have a great opportunity here to serve the Lord. I had one of my mentors, loved this man dearly. He is a great soul winner. And we were out soul winning on Friday night like we would normally do in my college years. And he said, you know, I had a kid who heard the gospel, understood it. I can't remember if this young man trusted in Christ, but he said something along the lines of, well, if all my sin is paid for and there's nothing that could ever separate me from God, but I'll still sin here because I have a sinful nature, why wouldn't I just take my life and be with the Lord? And I wouldn't even have the opportunity to sin. I wouldn't have the chance to mess it up. And my mentor, he really chewed on that because, first of all, good question. But you never want to encourage somebody to take their life. But then you see how bad sin is. And he said, what? You know, he started to think right there on the spot. And he asked God for wisdom. And this answer came to him. He said, there must be something of great significance to serve the Lord in this life. That's really good. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 really exemplify that. God wants to reward his children who are faithful. He wants to reward his children, period. He doesn't want them to disobey. He'll take them out of this world so that they don't do more damage to themselves and to the gospel message. But there must be something significant to serving the Lord. Those who draw back into perdition are those that they're not profitable. They go around and they rely on something outside of Jesus Christ, and the Lord will take them home. Continuing in my response here, what you said about clear verses is important. Always interpret unclear verses in the light of doctrine taught in clear verses. Hebrews is a strong book. It is written to wake up the believers who were falling away into apostasy. The warnings are severe because the risk they were running was severe. However, there is no indication that a believer ever loses eternal life. He can lose his earthly life and eliminate the rewards he could have received if he remained faithful. If you have a question similar to this, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, send it to us, and I'll be more than happy to give you an answer and maybe even make a video like this. Thanks to Francisco for his question, and thank you for watching today. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.